Welcome to Mighty Married Moms. Join us at our kitchen table twice a week as the Mighty Married Moms, Debbie, Linda, Wendy, invite spectacular guests to weigh in on staying sexy, vibrant, and healthy, building marriages with soul-satisfying connection, raising happy, healthy, successful kids. Conversations with Mighty Married Moms will bring you closer to the life you really want.
Episode 112.
Today's show is brought to you by Deborah C. Owen, Family and Life Coach at YouCanRaiseGreatKids.com. If you are tired of worrying about the choices your kid is making, or tired of the stress of constantly arguing with your kids, or them arguing with each other, then don't wait until you are truly desperate. Get the help you and your family need and deserve today. Connect with your kids with calm compassion. Call Deborah Owen at 978-835-4354. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Mighty Married Moms. I'm Debbie Owen from YouCanRaiseGreatKids.com.
I'm Linda Tai from AllWellBreaksLoose.com.
And I'm Wendy Williams from ConnectAgain.org.
And we are very excited to be able to introduce you today to Bruce Langford, who is an anti-bullying expert and has a lot of interest in mindfulness. So let me just tell you a little bit about his biography. He became an entrepreneur in 2003 when, shocked by the bullying he observed as a school teacher, he transitioned to being a full-time advocate of bullying prevention. He founded the company Stand Up Now to spread the message that when we all focus on respect, bullying will decline. Bruce is also host of the podcast, Mindfulness Mode, where his goal is to share how mindfulness can increase calm, focus, and happiness for everyone, and ultimately reduce bullying. So, Bruce, we are really excited to have you here today. Welcome.
And I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me to join you.
Yes, this is great. Why don't you share with our audience a brief description, you know, of a minute or so about how you got to being the anti-bullying mindfulness guy from being a music teacher for so long.
Well, I was a teacher, as you know, in the school and loved it. But when I saw what I saw, a boy at recess, I was on duty, and that boy was just so upset and just really feeling miserable because he was being bullied. And I talked to him privately and said, you know, how can I help you? What can I do to make things better for you? And basically, it was a very difficult thing to come up with an answer because back in 2003, we didn't talk about bullying very much. And so I got so passionate about it that I just thought, you know what? I can put together a program. I can learn more about this. I can educate myself so I really can help kids like that and many more. So I went to him and I said, how about, would you be in a video? And maybe when I go and do presentations in other schools, then you could be talking to the kids and speaking to them right through that video. And at first he said, well, gee, I don't think so. I'd be too scared. But after a few days, he came back to me and he said, Mr. Langford, if I could help one person through my video, then it would be worth it. So yes, I will. So we made a video. I sent out the word that I would come in and do presentations, and everything else is history because I've been doing it full time since 2005. I did it part time for 2 years and moved out of the teaching profession into being a full time entrepreneur. So very exciting and challenging too, but it's certainly my passion.
Yeah. And you go around and you speak at a lot of different schools in Canada and the United States at this point, right?
That's right. I do. Yeah. And I do keynote addresses and I talk to businesses and business people and, you know, lots of different kinds of venues and events.
So that's interesting. You talk about bullying in the workplace too, huh?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Wow.
There's a lot of, are you familiar with the term nurse to nurse lateral violence?
Not so much.
No, I'm not either. Well, that because it's very common. I'm sorry, nurses, to drop a dime, but it's very common in the nursing practice. We call it nurses eat their young. Where you say, really, you didn't change the dressing at 10 like it said to do in the orders, and there's a bullying component that nursing is has become very aware of, and there's a whole lot of work. It's called lateral violence, meaning person to person in the workplace in the nursing profession. I'm sure it's in other, but that's the one I'm very familiar with. So anyway, I just offer that up that might be a place for you to kind of make some inroads is with nursing organizations that are trying to take a take a stand.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Stand up now.
Stand up now. Exactly.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. How does someone stand up now? Tell us a little bit about that, yeah. Bruce.
Well, you know, that can be misconceived very easily because bullying is not a simple situation.
Yeah.
And a lot of us try to simplify it because we want so desperately to help. We want to do something about it. And the whole thing is bullying, as you know, is a symptom. It's a symptom of other problems. And when we look at bullying and we think, you know, we will stop that, you know, we're going to start a war on bullying and we're going to make sure we stop it. So when we see bullying, we are going to put an end to it. And that's just like saying, you know, if I see a kitchen fire in my house, I'm going to think as many ways I can to put out that fire. And I'm going to spray it with my fire extinguisher and I'm going to throw baking soda on it. But I should be thinking, hey, just a second. What's causing that fire? Why am I having so many fires in my kitchen? We don't tend to do that with bullying and with other societal problems. And I mean, I understand why. I mean, we're involved in our own thing. We're all focused on what we're focused on, but we need to be looking at the reasons why there is bullying. And so the short answer to your question, how do you stand up to bullying? Well, of course, I teach about confidence. I teach about not reacting at the beginning, because when you react to the beginning parts of bullying, someone's trying to test the water, someone's trying to bully you. And if you react at the beginning, that is exactly what they want. They want that reaction. They're testing the waters and they're inside their mind thinking, oh, great, this is a person that I can really get to. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to do it a bit more, a bit more, a bit more, a bit more. And then when we really think, okay, let's put a stop to this, then it's gone so far that it's really tough to put a stop to it. So the answer to how to stand up against bullying is really to be proactive, is to understand how bullying works, and then to make sure that we don't fall into that trap of, you know, getting to the point where we've got, you know, bullying is going on and it's too late. So we have to learn and understand. So the real answer is education.
Education's at the root of a lot of things.
It is.
But there's also four phases of education, and I used to know these because I have my master's in education. But, you know, whatever. It goes through stages, and not until stage three or four with reinforcement does it actually stick. So right. How is it that a program that comes, like, how does your program help people to move along that continuum of education to kind of reinforcing it and making it stick? Do you have any?
Yeah, my program helps because I'm not only teaching the students, I'm teaching the teachers as well. Mm. And I'm helping them understand that, you know, well, what I just explained to you, so that the teachers can pass that on to the children. And I leave behind worksheets and exercises, and I help the children through the teachers understand these concepts. And of course, I was doing bullying prevention work for only about a year or two before I started to really understand the real picture that, you know, a lot of our students are so stressed and they're filled with anxiety and they're tense and there's, you know, there's testing and there's all these societal problems and relationship challenges and all that goes on in social media. Our children are really, really stressed. And what happens when we get stressed? Well, all kinds of things. And one of them is we lash out at other human beings.
Yeah.
And that's what bullying is. And so the more I can help people understand that, the better it is. But in order to combat anxiety and stress, what do we need to do? We need to quiet our minds. We need to just stop and think about this for a few minutes. Focus on one thing. And think of the moment, not get stressed out about what happened yesterday, not get stressed out about what we think might happen tomorrow. And what I'm describing is mindfulness.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that on our show a number of times too. And I love how you're marrying mindfulness with anti-bullying.
Yes.
It's such a great intersection right there.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's very unique.
So important.
Too. I'm sure it's unique too.
Yes, it seems to be.
Yeah.
I like the word marriage too, but anyway, we digress. But yes, it makes so much sense in every way to slow down and just think about the next step. But boy, that's so hard in our culture. And I'm sure that the United States East Coast culture bleeds over into Canada too. Just rush.
Yes.
And make reactions rather than responses, which I think is a wonderful distinction.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what's been the most profound thing that you've seen in terms of this relationship between mindfulness and bullying? How is that manifested in ways that you say, this is important and I'm going to incorporate it?
Well, I'll tell you, I had an opportunity to go into a school for 2 months in the spring, and it was a fantastic opportunity because I was able to use all kinds of mindfulness exercises and mindfulness practice with the students, and then do questionnaires at the end, talk to them about it, and get a feedback directly from those students. And it was amazing to me that, you know, after only 2 months, the students, they were like, oh, we love coming to your room. We love having Mr. Langford. And I said, oh, you tell me about it. Why do you like coming here?
Yeah.
And they said, we feel so much peace. We feel so relaxed. It's just a good feeling. Mm-hmm. And they answered with all kinds of answers like that. Mm-hmm. And it was simply because I was doing mindfulness exercises and treating them with respect, believing in them. And I mean, we were getting a lot accomplished. I mean, I was teaching music to the students and loving that. And I was testing them and I was doing all the things I would normally do as a teacher in a music program. Mm-hmm. But I was doing mindfulness exercises. And mm-hmm. it's just unbelievable what a difference it made.
What age group was that?
Well, those were students from first to eighth grade. So all the students
School, all those ages.
And even kindergarten children, too, as a matter of fact.
Mm. Bruce, tell us one or two of those exercises that you did with the kids.
Oh, yeah.
That would be really, first of all, so that we can understand what it was that you were doing. It's so different. And secondly, so that our audience can perhaps use those exercises themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. First of all, one of the things I do is make sure that I'm doing way more listening than I am talking. Mm-hmm. And as a teacher, that's not an easy thing to do.
Right? Yeah, it's true.
I don't mind talking. But, so the students would come in and they would sit down, and then there would be a time when I'm just having a look at the students and smiling at them and just relaxing, really. Mm. Instead of the whole thing, okay, we have work to do. Okay, listen.
So true. I'm 12 years in school, I did it myself day after day.
I did too. And I would, they'd come in and I'd go, okay, we have so much to do. We have to get working. Now listen, I'm going to tell you what we're now listen. And now I realize that by having that approach and then just by saying listen, that really doesn't help, because you need to give them something to focus on.
Yeah.
And you need to let them relax, because we can't learn unless we are relaxed.
Exactly.
We really can't. And if children are, tense, oh my gosh, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to listen. I'm supposed to sit here. I'm supposed to sit up straight. Oh, I'm not supposed to look behind me. You know what I mean? And so we have to get rid of that at the beginning. And so then what I would do, I would do many different things, but here's one exercise. I would simply play a note, and I might pick up a trumpet, or I might do it on a keyboard, but I would simply look at the children and smile, and I would play a note. Now, the first day I did this, they're kind of like,
what the heck are you doing?
What is going on? This is weird. The teacher's not telling us to listen. The teacher
has
to be quiet. And they're all kind of like, oh. And they really started listening to the note. They started listening. And then I would stop and I would say, just listen to the sound. Is it smooth? Is it bumpy? Is it rough? Whatever thoughts come into your mind, just let them. Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk about it in a minute. And then I would play a long tone as long as I could, just play a long tone. And I would watch their faces. And they're kind of, And then I would watch their shoulders, because what would happen was they would start to relax.
Yes.
All we have to do is listen to that tone. Wow. And so then, I mean, the very first time I did that, that might have been the end of it. But then I did it again, and I did it a couple of times. And then I would say, okay, let's share a thought that came into your mind during the tone. It can be any thought. It doesn't matter, as long as it's classroom appropriate.
So, yeah. So, caveat.
You know, you know, it was amazing. And then, you know, they'd put their hands up and someone would say, I thought of my grandmother's flower bed, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like random things,
like
right? And I'm like, okay, that's good. And then someone else, you know, I thought of my dog at home. I don't think he's feeling well.
Mm.
You know, and then you suddenly find out what's on the minds of the children.
The top of mind.
And, you know, and you say, okay, what's the matter with your dog? Oh, tell me about that. Oh, I've got a song about a dog that we'll be doing later on in the class or whatever. Mm-hmm. But what it does is it brings everybody together. It tells them, hey, this guy cares about me.
Yeah.
And it lets them relax their thoughts.
Right.
It lets them lose some of the anxiety that they've had. Right. So that's only one exercise, but it's so simple, but so effective.
Yeah.
Sounds it.
Yeah.
That is so wonderful. That is
Do you have an instrument now we could listen to? Sing middle C for us, you know.
No, that's great. Yeah. Now, here's a question. So you did this with the kids and they expressed that they feel relaxed. Was there and you were only there for 2 months. Was there any way to identify that the same kind of mindfulness and being able to be relaxed in themselves actually had an effect on their relationships with each other?
The bullying piece, maybe?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I just observed.
Okay.
I just simply observed, and I talked with the teachers in the staff room. And I would talk with those teachers and think, are they describing the same children I see? Are they describing the same classroom of students that I see? Because I would see a lot of tension coming from the teachers, and it's not anything against them. You know, it's not that at all. It's just I would see stress and tension and teachers coming down to the staff room and like, oh, I'm just so upset with my class this morning and I just let them have it. I just lit into them because, you know, and like, I understand that. I get it.
Yes.
Because I've been a teacher for a long time.
Yes, I get it.
You know what? That is not going to help. Mm-hmm. That is just going to add to the anxiety, add to the tension, and your students are, you know, they're not bad people.
Right.
Mm-mm.
They're not. They will really eat out of your hand if you can understand how to allow them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy to understand that if you're a teacher and you're in the hubbub of all the activity and you're trying to accomplish
the pressure, if your kids don't do well on the test, then you could potentially lose your job. So
yes.
A lot of stress on the teachers.
Do they have testing like that in Canada?
We do have testing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lose my job over it, but it's still really stressful.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think, you know, in general, people don't realize how powerful a few minutes of mindfulness can help you to focus better. And they probably would get through their lesson faster, right? And the kids would achieve more if they were able to do that.
Yeah. You know what, Linda? That's so true. Mindfulness is so simple, it's almost too simple for us to grasp that it can be effective.
If it's that easy, it couldn't be good.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. And because we're in a society where we think, you know, we have to work hard, we have to be busy, we have to multitask, we have to do all these things in order to be successful and accomplish. And in fact, that's not always true.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Most of the time, I don't think it's true.
Yeah.
I agree.
That striving is...
Right. I agree with you. Most of the time it is.
I love what we're talking about, mindfulness, and I'd like to, if we have time, I'd like to come back and talk about it in the adult world too. But I'm also looking at, you know, when I invited you originally because of the bullying, I mean, you were going to actually interview with us last spring and then you ended up getting that job. So we had to put it off.
Yes.
So I'm curious if you could help, you know, a parent whose child is involved in bullying in some way, shape, or form. Either their kid is being bullied, or they know that their child is bullying, or they know that their child is involved in a group that's kind of standing by and letting it happen. I mean, there's so many ways to be involved in bullying. Yeah. What can you tell parents to have them be able to be proactive in solving some of these problems?
The first thing we have to do, and it applies to all of those situations, the first thing we have to do is really, really, really empathize and love our children and not gang up against them. Not be like that teacher I described. Not be like, oh, I've got to let them have it because of what they did yesterday on social media. And, you know, we've got to back away from that anger and anxiety. And we've got to think, gee, this is my kid. I really love my kid. How am I going to connect with my child so that I can really, truly help them? And the only way I can really, truly help my child is if I'm going to allow him or her to connect with me.
You're singing my song, Bruce.
Yeah.
Am I?
Singing
off of Debbie's song. Well, it is so true. It is so true. And it's actually easy, but we have to allow ourselves to do it. And we have to make sure that those voices in our heads aren't going to prevent us from doing it. Those voices that are saying, come on, you got to toughen up, parent. Come on, you gotta be hard with your kid. You can't let them get away with this. You got to, you know, because we're hearing those messages all over the place. It's a war against bullying, so I'm going to have a war against you, kid.
Yeah, and as a parent, you feel that you're the failure if something's happening to your kid, right? You're taking it personally, and it doesn't have anything necessarily to do with you.
Exactly.
And it doesn't help your kid.
Exactly.
Right. When you get conflated like that, when you're not out treating them as their own person. Yes. But I got to push back. Your analogy earlier about the kitchen fire.
Yes.
I'm a nurse, as we've already established. I'm going to be putting out that fire.
Yes.
And maybe I'm interested in the electricity that caused the fire or my bad gas main in my stove or whatever. Yes. But in the moment, you may not talk to that child like that. And that needs to stop right now.
Absolutely.
And absolutely. Let's go home and we're going to connect or whatever.
Yeah.
So to me, there's both pieces, you know.
Wendy, you're right. You're absolutely right. I'm so glad you said that and took us back, because you know what? We have to figure out, okay, what's my child doing? I have to make sure I know what they're doing on social media. I know what they're doing on the computer. I know how they're talking to other kids. How are they? What are their exchanges like? What kinds of words are they using? What kind of language are they using? Because if my child is being rude and mean and swearing at the other kids, okay, hold on, stop. You must not use that language. Mm-hmm. So absolutely. I can't be, you know, Mr. Nice Guy, Mr. Nice Dad, like, oh, come on, I love you, honey. You know, like, yes, there's this line in between all of this. We have to put our foot down and we have to be a parent and be strong and say, no, this is not acceptable. We do not use that kind of language. You do not go on social media and do this kind of thing. You do not spend 3, 4, 5 hours a day on social media, on screens, because you are so wrapped up in what others are doing online virtually that your whole life is focused on that. Okay, we're backing off here. We're going to make a change in our lives. We're going to get you into some activities that you love. We're going to get our family doing things together, mm-hmm. and we're going to listen to each other's needs. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot more going on than just screens and social media, or there should be. Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely right, Wendy, that, you know, we have to just put our foot down and be strong in a respectful kind of way.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, that fire in the kitchen, we have to deal with it and put our foot down.
Right, right.
You know, need to be parameters. And I counsel my clients the same way. And when I speak to groups, it's the same thing. There need to be parameters.
Right, of course.
And then within those parameters, there's some choice about how the kids manage it. But, you know, the parents do need to set the parameters for what's acceptable.
Yeah. And you're such an expert at communicating that, Debbie, because, you know, choice, you just said it. You know, parameters, yes, but choice, yes. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be Mr. In Charge, okay, from now on it's this and this and this. I'm going to be a happy medium and say, okay, from now on, we're going to do these kinds of things under, you know, these sort of guidelines. But in each guideline, you get your choice.
Right.
What would you like to do here? Here mm-hmm. are your choices. Mm-hmm. We always need to give our children and teens choices as much as we possibly can.
They need to practice making decisions. Otherwise, when they get to be 18 or 19 years old, they have no practice in it, right?
Right.
And in the meantime, you've created this antagonistic relationship because everybody wants to make their own choices.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
Is there any difference in the bullying, in the incidence of bullying? I know bullying, cyberbullying, all these different things, these children who commit suicide when they're, you know, those are very well publicized, but is there an increase? And if so, is there any, you talk about what's underneath it. That's where your expertise lies. Is there anything different in the current day that didn't exist when our parents were coming up?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the internet and cyberbullying has just changed things entirely. Mm-hmm. Now, it's all still bullying. It's just that those tools are right there in my son's hand. Immediately, he can do something if he's thinking. Whatever it is. Whereas in our day, you know, you might have been angry at somebody, but it was limited as to what you could really do in that moment of anger.
True.
You know, sure, you could scribble down a little note in class and send it to pass it over to somebody. Remember those days?
Yeah.
But now you scribble that little note on your smartphone and hit send, and all of a sudden 740 of your friends are seeing it, and it's this massive problem that you cannot undo.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It spreads everywhere like wildfire.
Yeah.
And if you're the person who's being bullied, there's no way to turn it off without, you know, just never going near a computer or a cell phone. And honestly, that just doesn't happen today.
No, it doesn't. And I think kids forget that piece of it too, right? They're so used to communicating through texting and Snapchat and Twitter and all that stuff. And they don't really, because of their brain development, right? They're not really realizing, like, oh, it's like the whole world if I say something bad, you know?
You're right, Linda.
Thousands and thousands of people. It's the gigantic playground that we didn't have, you know?
That's right.
We had to face the bully, or if we wanted to be the bully, we had to do it, you know, in person. It's very, very different.
I have to say, as the parent of a child who was bullied for several years in elementary school, I'm so grateful that at the time, kids didn't have cell phones.
Yeah. Right.
No, I'm really glad that he didn't have that. It could have been a lot worse.
It could have been a lot worse.
Well,
I'd like to define bullying, because I'm thinking classically, like, you know, a bunch of kids, you know, knock somebody's books out of there, you know, and call them, you know, and, you know, your hair's so greasy. I mean, I think about these boys that I was in high school with, and I cringe today, like, that I didn't stand up. Mm-hmm. That I didn't say, let's come on, you know, let's leave this kid alone. Obviously, his mother and father are not paying as much attention to him, and we're all blessed that ours do, and so just shut up and, you know. But I bet there are some subtle forms of bullying that people walk away damaged or hurt or crushed in some way that we may not be recognizing that our children are doing or that our children are suffering. I'm just curious.
Yeah, absolutely, Wendy. Yes, and so much. Well, they say they've done research. They found out 70% of bullying is verbal. 70%.
I believe it.
Most bullying does start out that way, because that's the easiest way for people to test the waters. You know, just drop some little comment, make them, you know, call the person a mean name. So verbal bullying is where it starts. So, and what is bullying? Bullying is repeated incidences of meanness. I emphasize repeated. And so the other thing is, it's deliberate, because some people will suddenly say, oh, well, you know, I was bullied or whatever. And then you start to investigate and you find out, well, you know, this was not a deliberate situation, or it wasn't a multiple thing. It was just a one-time incident, which may be serious, but it's not something that falls under the umbrella of bullying. So those two things differentiate bullying from other things. And bullying being verbal with so much of it means that we can really bully each other very easily, both in person and using our devices. We could bully them the first time right there, and then keep doing it and keep doing it. So that's one of the problems. And bullying can just escalate so fast depending on how I react to that person who is, you know, calling me names or saying some terrible thing to me or whatever it is, because that really hurts.
Yeah.
And, you know, that old saying, you know, sticks and stones can break my words can never hurt me. Well, you know what?
It's not true.
Yeah.
No. And yet we have to have an armor. We have to be strong. And even though that may hurt, I better not be reacting like a spoiled child, because if I am, I'm just saying, bring it on.
Yeah.
You know, and that's hard to explain to our children, because we do want them to stand up against bullying. And you would think that would mean the first time someone does that I'm going to be strong and I'm going to react and but that's not what it means.
No, because that's what they're looking for.
That is.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you tell kids to stand up against it then?
Well, you have to explain these things we've been talking about, and kids get it. When you stop and you take some time and you explain to them, they're like, oh yeah, I do remember when I overreacted that one day. I remember, you know, and if you explain this to them, most kids get it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you know what's happening? They're seeing a lot of adults.
Oh, yeah. Really?
As an adult,
and then they get, and then they react. You're absolutely right.
I always tell my kids all the time, it's like, don't expect adults to be grown up.
Right, yeah.
It's not necessarily going to happen. You know, it's interesting, and unfortunately, we're really running out of time, but when it's the bully bullying your child, it feels very different than like my two boys fighting each other, right? Because the older son's always like telling the younger one, you're stupid, you know, and the younger one cries, oh, you called me this, you know, and then you sort of say, if you don't react so much, he's not going to be interested in calling you stupid anymore.
Right.
You know, and,
right.
and you're not, and you know that, and he knows that. He's just trying to egg you on. But it's hard to remember that in the face of the bully.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to cut this short, because there's lots of
great. I think you need to come back.
There's lots of great
conversation
here. This is a very valuable contribution to the world, Bruce.
Thank you so much.
And we didn't even really get to the adult bullying, which I think is important too.
I do too.
It's really important. So we'll definitely have a rehash at some point. But please tell our audience where they can find you and any projects you have coming up, anything that you want to share.
Well, the big project I'm working on now is Mindfulness Mode. And Mindfulness Mode is a podcast, and you can find me at mindfulnessmode.com. And it's just my desire to create the idea that mindfulness can become mainstream. We can all practice mindfulness. And here are a whole lot of interviews I'm doing with people who are just ordinary people in the world who are practicing mindfulness. And here's what they're doing, and here's how simple it is. Mm-hmm. And so I do interviews and love to share the word with the world about mindfulness. And so I've really become passionate about that. And to me, it's tied completely into that whole bullying piece. So you can find me at standupnow.ca, which is my anti-bullying website. And you can find me on the Mindfulness Mode podcast. So I'd love it, listeners, if you subscribe and check out Mindfulness Mode, because I think you'll really enjoy it.
Yeah. I had a great time when I was a guest on your show too. So thank you for that opportunity.
Oh,
and we live about 10 minutes away from Jon Kabat-Zinn. So anytime you want to come down.
I want to come down.
Who's Jon Kabat-Zinn, Debbie asked. Tell our audience 1 second on Jon.
Jon Kabat-Zinn is like an icon of the most amazing person when it comes to the topic of mindfulness. And all you have to do is type his name into Google and you'll learn all kinds of things.
Yeah, he's a guru.
Wonderful books, and he's just an amazing, amazing man. My dream is to meet him and to have him on my show.
Well, excellent. Good. Come down here and have lunch with us.
There you go.
I'd love to.
All right. Well, everybody, you've been listening to the Mighty Married Moms show. We are thrilled to have Bruce Langford as our guest today about mindfulness and anti-bullying. Mm-hmm. And we'll ask you to subscribe and rate and review our show as well.
Subscribe on iTunes.
On iTunes. Thank you. And we will look forward to seeing you next week with our next amazing guest. So thanks for being with us today, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Mighty Married Moms. Tune in twice a week on Mondays and Thursdays to meet fascinating and inspiring guests who will help you create the life you've always wanted.
You can find these episodes and special gifts just for you at MightyMarriedMoms.com, as well as a link to our Facebook community,
where we continue the conversation around the kitchen table. Please also help share the love by leaving a review on iTunes. We'll see you next time.